we get ready for the Phillies, the start of the postseason, obviously, for the Phils. Of course, kind of apropos, I guess you can say, with no Eagles this weekend. I mean, it makes it a little bit easier to focus in just on the Phils. And as we talk about some Phils and postseason action as a coach, but also some Eagles mixed in, let's welcome, and we just love having him on the show, legendary Eagles coach, joins us every Friday at this time, Coach Dick Vermeil. Good morning, Coach Vermeil.
Good morning, guys.
Love having you on the show. So, Coach, before we get into sports, let me tell you, congratulations to you and your group with Vermeil Wines, because I know recently you won, you know, the award and got the winning votes for in all of Napa Valley, and which is a, you know, pretty big area out there with a lot of wineries and a lot of people making wine. I know that your tasting room was voted the best tasting room in Napa County that is not physically connected to a winery of all others, and the best place to drink wine and red wines. And I just want to tell you, I know this has been a real passion for you these last many years. Congratulations on all you've achieved with Vermeil Wines. That's really a great accomplishment.
I appreciate that. Yeah, we're very proud of what we've gotten done there out there. And, you know, we have a good staff. They've been with us for a long time, and they work real well without us being there, which makes it nice. And so we're proud of our accomplishments, but we're still trying to get better, just like you do in the NFL.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Delicious wine, Coach. Thank you so much.
It is. We love it. I mean, we've drank it. My girlfriend loves it. I mean, it's just, it's the best. So VermeilWines.com, we tell you all the time, but VermeilWines.com for everyone listening. So, Coach, let's get to the Eagles, and then we'll do a little bit on the Phils as it relates to being a coach in the postseason and that pressure and all that. So, Eagles, 4 weeks. Obviously, it hasn't gone the way we were hoping. Are you increasingly concerned that the Eagles may just be an average team this year and not nearly what we thought?
You know, I'm really not that concerned about that. And, you know, I'm just a fan. I'm not, you know, and I study. I get home from my trip. I study it here on my computer and watch them play. They're a better team than they were in Tampa Bay. Hey, they were a fine team who went to New Orleans and played, you know, here's a team that scored 91 points in two games, and we shut them down to 12, you know. So I think our profile as a football team is not defined as yet, and I'm optimistic enough to believe it's going to be better, especially with our leadership. I think it is. Now, if it isn't, then we're going to be an average team. But I think it's a little too early to define actually what we are. And we all have seen them play extremely well, individuals last year and over more than 1 year. But I still believe there's a lot more to get out of those guys. And we know our two coordinators, Kellen and Vic, they've had success before. And I think they'll prove their value as the season goes. You know, we've got a break with the bye at this time. They come out, they have three teams that aren't playing as well right now that'll probably play better, just like we will. But my long answer to a short answer is that I don't think we're defined as what kind of team we are right now. And if I was going to say we're a lot better than what we have played, I would say that. Yeah,
I agree. And what do you think, Coach, this team needs to work on the most over the bye?
You know, I don't know what his approach is in the bye. I don't know if, you know, I haven't read where they're bringing him in and working him 3 days and letting him go. I went to the Andy Reid theory and started giving my team the whole week off, regardless of what our win-loss record was prior to it. There's it's really hard to get a lot done in three practice sessions to make a difference between winning and losing. A part of it, I think, Tampa Bay loss was emotional. I watched our offensive line, I think, especially on the right side, was given a little too much credit. I don't think they played very well in that first half. They didn't handle the stunt package very well, and the right tackle, right guard aren't what they were, you know, because Johnson's not playing, the different right guard working together against the stunts and that. We didn't give Jalen enough time to throw the ball, you know, and everyone's really upset with him. But if you remember that pass he threw to Goddard down to the 7-yard line, a quarter pattern, when he was given time, it was a beautiful throw. But we've got to give him more time. And, you know, people are critical that he takes too much time. If our offensive line is as good as they say they are, they've got to give him more time.
Can you bring a team closer without play in a game? You know, during this bye, you got 2 weeks. You said it yourself. You got three practices. Is it enough time to actually make a dent and make a team improved?
I think you can gain some things, yes. I think you can gain a little bit. I don't think it becomes obvious. I don't think you make drastic changes in a bye week in improvement or decline. You know, some coaches have had great luck coming out of a bye with a great winning record. Many times that is determined by who you play when you come out of the bye. You know, mm-hmm. Right now, if you come out and play an undefeated team, you're probably not going to have a great win-loss record coming out of a bye. We come out against Cleveland. We're probably a better team than Cleveland, but we better prove it. But I think the mental side of the game, the toughness side of the game, and the pride you take in how you play as individuals, the film studies and all that you can do, and the concentration in the bye week, it really helps you. It really does. And I'm going to repeat myself. They're a better team than they were when they played Tampa Bay.
It's good.
Well, they better be, because if not, you know, it's not going to be a good season for sure. Coach Dick Vermeil with us right now. Dick, let's talk about the Phillies and what they're going through. You've been through this from a football standpoint a number of times. So they got another crack at it. Obviously, this is the third time they've made the postseason with this group. I'm curious from your perspective, and you've won at the highest levels and lost at the highest levels in the postseason, beyond just, of course, trying to play your best, what is, from your perspective, a key preparation-wise to help a team try to play its best? What can you do? What can Rob Thompson do with his guys to get them to be as focused, as energized, and as great as they can possibly be?
Well, first, you've got to be what you were. You can't all of a sudden, because you're playing a playoff game, think you've got to approach the games differently. You've got to do a little better what you've done all year to get into a position of playing playoff games. You know, and Chuck Noll gave me great advice when I first started getting into playoffs. You know, in the old days, coaches were pretty good friends and discussed philosophies and approaches. And I talked to Chuck, and he said, Vermeil, just don't forget how you got there. Just don't forget how you got there. And don't drastically change your routine or anything. The emotional side of a playoff game plays a lot in maintaining your poise under pressure in these bigger games. And some guys react positively. Some guys don't react as well. But I think the big thing is to go in and be what you are. Be what you've been. And then add to it a little bit emotionally because of the importance of the game. Yeah.
So it's an interesting answer, of course, but let me ask you this as a follow-up. What if part of what helped you get there isn't working anymore? You know, one of the realities with Rob Thompson, I mean, last year with Craig Kimbrell, phenomenal career, excellent season, but faltering down the stretch in September and then clearly not the same in October. So if you have an athlete that is struggling, even if he helped get you there, you know, what would be your approach in that moment?
Yeah, you can't add to what you are because he's just, at that point, done.
Yeah,
he's just broken down.
And I guess for you, the analogy, I guess, Coach, would be a football player that's banged up as the year goes on, which obviously some players get banged up and become diminished athletically and then less effective. How do you handle that if it's one of your, you know, one of your real solid players?
Well, if he was one of your real solid players and he isn't today, then you have to play somebody else. I learned that early in my career from a head coach that I worked with, and he always said, never assume a player is 100% healthy, because many times you'll find out after the game he wasn't. He's playing on courage and desire to play, and his performance was down. You're better off playing a player that is 100% healthy, physically and emotionally, in his place. And, you know, I don't follow baseball as intensely as I do football, so I'm not as knowledgeable how the managers handle all these different things, but I can't imagine managing players for all the games that they do as a baseball manager. That is a real challenge of your leadership. But
you're living on the road with them. Yeah. For a long, long time. Coach, let me say, we look forward, you know, this October to mixing in, you know, hopefully a little Phils with you, depending on how long they're in this. But a lot of Eagles, obviously. Enjoy the bye week from an Eagles standpoint and watching all those Week 5 games. And, of course, we'll get back at the Eagles thing next week. And reminder to everyone listening, VermeilWines.com. I mean, the wine is just Phenomenal. I mean, delicious, phenomenal. You use whatever term you want. VermeulWines.com to get just some exceptional wine. Coach Vermeil, enjoy a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Go Eagles.
You got
Thank
it.
You,
there
Coach.
He is. All right, Coach Dick Vermeil. All right, on this fantastic Friday morning as we get ready for the Phillies in the postseason. Tomorrow, of course, right here on WIP and at Citizens Bank Park. God, is a great song. Great song. Not as great as if the Phillies win the World Series. But, John, I do believe Marty McFly was a Phillies fan. They never cover that in the movie, but he knew what he was doing. You know, I mean, come on.
He did seem so sharp and worldly that he must have been.
Yeah, I mean, the Phillies were just coming off a good era, you know? He could have hopped on board.
They were.
Yeah.
But they were certainly headed to a bad
I know, it would have been
stretch.
A bad time to hop on
85
board.
85 until, you know, the April 1st of 93.
But it was dependable.
Well, it was dependably bad.
Yeah.
It really was that.
You got Biff's book. You know
well,
you're going to make
whole,
money with that.
That's right. So, all right, Phillies and Mets starts tomorrow. So the home run by Alonso, I mean, it really was quite a moment. James, when Alonso hit it, what's the first thought that went through your mind?
No bleeping way. Was actually what, like, the first thought was like, no bleeping way that just happened. Like, I...
Well, you know what? You know what struck me? And I didn't, of course, know this until this morning when I heard the audio. I want to play this one more time, the audio when that homer gets hit.
Oh, my God. How many
because
times
you
can we
tell,
play it, Joe?
You can tell their announcer is shocked. This is the
That's
Mets
why I was
radio.
Just floored. Like, I was floored. I was...
Well,
really
I thought Pete Alonso was a little surprised. Like, he didn't know he got it. Like,
it
you
didn't
could tell
look like
thought,
off the bat. It was like, kind of...
I know.
It looked like it was a fly ball to right field, you know?
All right,
he was screaming when it came off the bat, though. He was screaming the moment it came off the bat.
I didn't notice that, but I believe you. But anyway, let's listen. They I mean, it's a big postseason moment, and it's the reason the Phillies are going to face the Mets starting tomorrow, because Alonso was pretty unbelievable.
Here's the pitch. Swinging a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Freelick back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a three-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead. They all pour out of the dugout. Alonso on his way to home plate. They're waiting for him. He hits the plate. He is first congratulated by Nimmo. Hugged by Lindor. There are a dozen Mets waiting for him outside the dugout. Pete Alonso keeps this fairy tale season going with the fairy tale swing of his career. 3-2 New York.
All right, calm down a little bit. All right, relax.
Look, Phillies and Mets. It starts tomorrow. By the way, in about 10 minutes, the announcement of the finalists for Turkey Bowl this year, which you'll then be able to vote on starting in about 10 minutes. 215-592-9494. And how in the world are we about 2.5 hours into the show where we're looking for submissions from listeners, callers, on the most annoying New York athlete or coach of all time? 2.5 hours in and nobody has said Pete Alonso? I mean...
I was going to take him, but you said no haymakers.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about the callers. I mean, you know, come on. I mean, John, he has bothered you for
Pete
a good
Alonso,
5 or 6 years.
Oh, it's the worst.
How can he not? First of all, he's been sort of a thorn in the side because he's been good.
He's a good player.
Yeah. Begrudgingly, I'll say that. But just the way that he moves, the way that he acts, you can see how annoying he must be.
I agree with
Joe,
you.
As a teammate, he's just so just...
You always love to call people dorks. He's a dork. Pete Alonso is an all-time dork. Like the whole headphone thing during the home run derby.
I think he's something else, James. No, I'll give you a better word. I'll give you a better word.
Every movement is a little bit like it's a little bit off.
Okay, different word. He's a tool.
Yeah, sure. That works. Yeah.
No, he's more of a tool than a dork.
I think you're right. I agree. I think he's more of a that's a good call. He's a tool.
All right. Let's go to the phones. By the way, the Turkey Bowl announcement in about 5 minutes. Chuck and Cherry.
He's a dorky tool.
Yeah,
I like
Fair
that.
Yeah,
Chuck and Cherry Hill. Hi, Chuck.
Yeah, check that description. You guys got it perfectly. Tool. Maybe
there
a good guy. But a bit of a tool.
And by the way, you know, a tool on steroids, and I don't mean physically steroids, is a toolbox. You don't hear that much anymore.
Not
enough. You ever hear that?
I agree.
When somebody's such a tool, you call them a toolbox?
Jeez.
Yeah.
But that's good. That might be Pete Alonso.
Yeah, he's a toolbox.
Yeah.
But he stepped up last night. Here's the question. Why would William – this is great. This is kind of cool. When you chart these guys, the further you go in postseason, the fastball – diminishes because they're getting tired. And Williams last night doesn't have his best fastball. He said 93. Something special. So he throws him back-to-back changeups. He speeds up his bat. Alonzo gets this right. Throws him a cookie over the middle of the plate. Now, if he's got his good gas, he's not getting a changeup right there, right? That's how postseason baseball works. Because these guys, I checked every box in favor of the Phillies. I think we're going to run like crazy on Alvarez. He only gets 15% caught stealing rate.
Wow. Yeah,
that's very, very low.
Look, the Phil's got some dudes that can steal some bags.
They ran on him during the season, too, if you remember. Like, they ran on the Mets every chance they got.
Yeah, and last point, when they did bring their star in, the pitcher Diaz, remember this, with his kick, we're going to go, there's no chance. I mean, when you steal on him, there's no throw. We may steal third on him. We're going to rattle him. Stealing bases, I just love us. And I also think the emotional peak that the Mets have to come off of again, Atlanta, winning last night, the whole mental thing, go right to Philly and see Wheeler. Vegas has it right. They got a -2 for a reason. That'll be that price twice. I hate to sound so whatever. They're 2-0 in the Wheeler games. I love our
Look, Wheeler's a stud. I mean, he might be literally the best pitcher in baseball. He's a And by the way, here's what he is that other truly great pitchers have not proven. A postseason stud. I mean, there's a lot of great pitchers. They get to the postseason, and they really falter. I mean, he has never in these 2 years with the Phillies, and he's made quite a number of starts at this point. We can look it up. It's probably 8 or 9 or 10. He has never had a bad start.
That's funny. When I do my research, I always find some negative if you look deep enough, right? When you look at Wheeler's stats, postseason, regular season, then you do the advanced numbers, which we don't even talk about on the show, the advanced RE24 stuff. There's not one bad number with the cap.
No, he's great. All right, Chuck.
Well, he's able to fix himself in game.
When he needs to.
He's talked about that.
All right, Chuck, give me an answer. A New York athlete or coach you couldn't stand?
I loved him with us. I couldn't stand the way he beat us and did everything right when he was with the Mets, Lenny Dykstra.
Wow, that's an interesting way to go about it. Listen, when he was there, he was really irritating.
That's
really interesting.
Yeah,
I hadn't considered that.
That could be a winning answer. In some circles, that's a big one.
I get it. I get it. I lived it. And he's my favorite baseball player of all time. All right, let's get to Bryce Harper, who obviously is the Phillies' best player. I think he is, but at least one of their two best. I mean, Zach Wheeler is really great. You do kind of have a Schmitty and Carlton thing going on with Bryce and Wheeler. I don't want to go, too far, because you can make the case Schmitty and Carlton are two of the top, 25 or 30 players of all time. But, I mean, Bryce and Wheeler, it's a pretty studly combination. Let's listen to Bryce, because you want him at his best. He was on the afternoon show yesterday with Spike and Ike and Jack. And, obviously, we all want to know, how's he feeling? He got beat up during the year bit. How's he feeling for him to be at his best in October? Here's that exchange.
How are you feeling? We heard about you're dealing with some elbow stuff, dealing with some wrist stuff, and got some time to rest it up. How is that?
Yeah, definitely been feeling it a little bit, obviously in the second half. But I feel good. I feel ready to go mentally, physically. I feel prepared to start on Saturday and, ready to get this thing rolling.
Okay, so look, I'll say this. That doesn't make me feel like he might not be hiding a little bit there. I don't think he's a little bit like Jalen Hurts. I don't think he's going to tell you that he's beat up if he's beat up. So the fact that he didn't say I'm beat up doesn't mean he's not a little bit. But here's the good news. He played better. He played better in September.
Everyone who plays baseball right now could speak from the same position.
But that elbow, you could tell.
Yeah, we know he had the elbow.
He would swing and wince.
He dropped the bat and wince. Like, it would swing sometimes and actually have to, like, let the bat go.
But here's the good thing. Even when he wasn't, for most of September, having much power, although it increased at the end of the year, he did have a .400 on base percentage for a good stretch in September. I don't remember exactly what it netted out at, just that month or so. But, I mean, he played pretty damn good. He had a lot of doubles in there. James, didn't he at one point have, like, what was the doubles thing he had going at one point? I want to say like 7 doubles in 10 games.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He was on a hot one there. I'll look up his September numbers real quick.
Yeah, all right. So in the meantime, though, let me also get to, because such a big part of the Phillies' journey over the next, we hope, couple weeks will be Bryce being protected by a 4-hole hitter who does his job. Larry Bowa was on the show yesterday with the afternoon guys. This is a big one. Who's going to bat cleanup? Now, in our poll result yesterday, the audience wants Alec Bohm to bat cleanup, but Castellanos wasn't far behind him in that poll. Very few people wanted JT. Here's Larry Bowa on the cleanup issue.
If you were writing the lineup card out, would you go Bohm cleanup, or would you leave Castellanos where he's been the last couple weeks?
You know, I don't think you can lose either way, but you're right. Castellanos has had an unbelievable second half. But whoever hits behind Harp, it doesn't matter if there's a base open. You know, when you go in the clubhouse, you say, don't let this guy beat you, and Harp's name's out there. So you could have one of the best hitters in the world hitting after Harp. They're not going to let Harp beat him. So it doesn't really matter. But Casty, the way he's been swinging the bat, he hit another home run yesterday. I know it was an inter-squad game. Bohm hit the ball hard a couple times. So either way you go there. But I really believe that whatever team we play, they're not going to let Harp beat them. There's no question, Mom, especially with an open base.
Look, guys, there's a lot that went wrong at the very end of last year. One of the main things was Arizona was pitching around Bryce Harper, and in that moment, Alec Bohm wasn't coming through. And, John, if you remember, we saw his frustration manifest when he would go back to the dugout.
Often, though.
Yeah, I mean, he cares,
Alec Bohm,
but you could tell he was pressing.
That frustration, and we've seen it lately.
He throws temper tantrums a lot.
I've really struggled personally with this hand thing. Like, can we count on him this postseason? He gets weird with stuff.
Devin, I don't think you weren't with us yesterday. So what would be your choice? We had this question yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Bohm, Castellanos, JT, bats fourth. Who would you choose?
Ugh, I mean, right now I think it would be Castellanos. He just historically has been so streaky that I don't know if I trust that he'll, you know, stay as consistent. So I feel like the smart choice would be Bohm.
But you're going with the nuts.
But I would choose Casty.
I think Castellanos.
I would choose Casty.
So we all chose Casty yesterday.
I like Casty.
He's dialed in right
until
now.
Until I don't, and he starts swinging at everything.
Exactly. You love
and
him
then,
until you don't.
But it's okay. Like, we'll be able to detect that he's swinging at everything, and then next guy up. Yeah. I would probably go JT next. Let's make the change quickly, though. Why is it that no one wants JT?
Well, I think he's not as good a player as he was 3 years ago. I think that's, like, he's just an aging catcher. He's not aged, but he's not young anymore.
But I don't feel like I can trust Alec Bohm's toughness.
Well, I'll say this. JT is a very, look.
Like,
I know I don't have to worry about
his toughness. Well, I know I don't have to worry about his mindset.
I don't think you need to worry about
Bohm. I worry about Alec Bohm's mindset at times.
Yeah.
Come on. You've seen it, too.
I see him get frustrated, but I wouldn't question
We've seen all sorts of stuff. We've seen him slamming his helmet.
Yeah.
He's the guy who's lighting up the dugout all the time.
Yeah, I don't mind him being emotional. I think he needs to reel it in when he shouldn't show the other team, especially their pitcher, that he's frustrated. I think that can hurt.
And most important of all, just don't press. Because that's Rob Thompson's job batting coach, whatever the hell that guy's called, to help him psychologically not press, because I think he does at times. All right, so calls in one moment. Let's get to Turkey Bowl, because, you know, Turkey Bowl has been, for us as a show, and this dates back to when we were in the midday show, a really cool, for us, annual, other than, you know, the pandemic thing, where we actually get to, because let's be real, guys, WIP, we're going to talk about the professional level. I'll make up a number. 98% of the time, 99% of the time, you know, 1%, 2% mixed into college sports, like basically 0% high school sports. I mean, 0%. But it's like the bedrock of sports in America, or that in grade school, that is. I mean, it's just what it is. And so we wanted to honor the great tradition of high school sports in our area and really on an annual basis feature different schools and a rivalry game with Turkey Bowl, which is a broadcast we do every single year on Thanksgiving Day, or this year we actually have consideration for the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving Eve, because a lot of schools, a lot of rivalry games have actually moved their game to the Wednesday. So Wednesday or Thursday, we have narrowed it down to 7 games that have a possibility. And let me tell you, Turkey Bowl 6 is presented by Cheney University, empowering minds, cultivating leaders, and shaping futures. And it is time right now. So for all the people that submitted, we thank you, because there was a lot of submissions, you know, so many schools, so many rivalry games. And we'll remind you, the past 5 times we've done this, it's been Ridley and Interboro, it's been Quakertown and Penridge, Chichester and Sun Valley, Ryan and Washington, and last year we were at Haddon Heights and Haddon Field. We expect to move it around. It's going to take a long time before the same game is featured twice. A lot of schools, a lot of rivalry games are going to have a crack at this. Seltzer, if you would, sir, a drum roll. As we tell the audience, the 14 schools still eligible, the seven games for Turkey Bowl VI. They are Bristol High School against Morrisville High School. Burlington City against Palmyra. Downingtown West, Downingtown East. Classic game right there. Haverford and Upper Darby. Martin Luther King High School, Olney. Paul VI, Camden Catholic. St. John Newman and Maria Goretti. South Philadelphia High School. Congrats to those 14 schools and those seven games which have advanced to the finals, where now the voting is on. To everyone listening, particularly, of course, if you have an association with any of these 14 schools, as an alum, as a current student, by the way, if you're a current student, God bless you, you're pulling a Ferris Bueller's Day Off and you cut school today, it's 8:37, I applaud you for not being in school right now. Now, but it's primarily, obviously, right now, alums listening and all that. But, you know, if you're a faculty member or an administrator, whomever you might be, someone connected to these great schools, know that you can head over right now and for the next couple of weeks to 94WIP.com. That's the website, 94WIP.com. Select the rivalry that you want to hear broadcast here on WIP, either Thanksgiving Day or the day before Thanksgiving. By the way, the winning rivalry game, those schools are going to be awarded some money because we want to also help, you know, give back to the athletic departments. $3,000 will go to the athletic department, so $3,000. And, of course, you know, and I'll use this term, the glory of having your school broadcast on WIP. And I don't mean to say that to sound haughty about ourselves, but let's be real. It's an unconventional thing. I mean, John, you would have loved in high school. Let's put it this way, John. You were about as big a deal as a person can be in Pennsylvania high school sports. You were the best player in high school that year, and you led your team to the state title. And you were renowned as being one of the great running backs in high school football that year, so you were heavily recruited. Most kids aren't that. And so for them to actually have their name and their game and their plays and their touchdowns featured on WIP,
it's an opportunity for everyone to hear and know about this massive game that everyone's been pointing toward the whole season. This is the one on the schedule that matters the most for everybody.
I love this. It's a good tradition. By the way, the voting will go until November 8th. So spread the word in your community and amongst your friends and family, obviously connected to these schools. Get voting at 94WIP.com. Vote all the way through November 8th. Again, we thank Turkey Bowl with the presenting sponsor. That's Cheney University. And to our returning sponsors as well, Steam Fitters Local 420 and Bradford White Water Heater. And good luck to all the schools. And guys and gals, get voting. Because the vote is now on at 94WIP.com. Let's talk to Ken and Cinnaminson right now. Ken, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, Prince. How are you today?
Good seeing you yesterday at Chickies and Pete's, Ken.
Yeah.
Yes.
Except you're wearing the Wisconsin gear. Wisconsin.
Well, I'm toting Wisconsin beer that's bootleg outside the state. So it
there you go. Hey, Wisconsin works for me because Corey Clement went there, and that guy helped the Eagles win a Super Bowl.
Corey Clement's awesome.
I love him, man.
Wisconsin always has awesome backs.
Backs and linemen.
Yeah, except Ron Dane was a disappointment in the pros.
Yeah, but in college, Ron Dane, Michael Bennett, like they did.
Well, of course.
Jonathan Taylor, like they did a ton of guys. John Taylor's good in the pros.
Oh, he's phenomenal. All right, Ken, go ahead, pal.
So, first of all, I love that you guys are doing the Turkey Bowl. I love high school football, and I can honestly say I learned more about what I had inside of myself playing high school football than I did anywhere else in my life ever before.
Well, so did I, except by not playing. I learned that I'm a wuss and wasn't good enough.
Well, it's still illustrative.
I'm
for
not
you,
that
Joe.
John.
And,
hey, listen,
I'd
at least
like
I'm,
congratulate,
I'm nothing but not honest.
Maybe.
I'd like to congratulate Pete Alonso on his new hair plugs. They look great.
I didn't notice.
He's such a
that's
jerk.
Good,
he's
though.
A bag of jerks. I mean, that guy's just so bad.
Oh, no. I just thought he was incredibly strange in appearance and the way he conducts himself.
Well, the guy.
But
the
if
guy
he's a jerk on top of it, I don't feel so bad about feeling that way.
There you go. All right, Ken, what do you make of this series? The Phillies and the Mets, Ken. Give me your thoughts.
Well, first of all, this is the guy who threw the ball from the guy's first major league hit ever, threw it into the stands last year.
Yeah, because he was in a bad mood.
Yeah, really?
Exactly. You don't remember really? That? Yeah, he had to come out and apologize and all that stuff. Yeah.
No, I don't remember that.
But look, Chuck hit the nail on the head. They are going to run all over this team. They're going to steal 15 bases. And it's – look, I don't know why we're worried about this. Like, this whole bye thing, look, I've been saying it for a couple of years. Part of the reason that the Phillies beat the Braves in the postseason 2 years in a row when the Braves had the bye was because the Phillies are wired – differently than the Braves are, and the Phillies are wired to take this adversity and suck it up, and the Braves are not. You've got to be mentally tough. There's a reason why the Houston Astros never were really affected by the bye, and because that team was mentally tough. Garbage cans are not. So
I don't know, Ken. That seems simplistic to me. I mean, the Atlanta Braves won a World Series in 2021. I mean, with largely the same group. I mean, it's, you know,
wasn't that like COVID though?
Well, I mean, not really.
No,
I mean, fans were back in the stands. You want to talk about being mentally tough? They lost Acuña that year and won the World Series. That's
but they did have a fair amount of different guys. Like, the guys who really helped them win it weren't there. Soler got brought back partway
different.
Through this
Olsen
season.
Wasn't
but, like,
there.
Soler, Friedman, Rosario, like, I Jock know. Peterson, like, the guys who really stepped up that run weren't there.
But, Ken, I got to tell you, man, like, Ken, we got to see this format this way for a couple more years.
Oh, yeah, Freddie Freeman, by the way, pretty important part of that team.
But Ken, I got to tell you, like, I do think the bye is, in a strange way, unfair to the great teams that have earned it. I just think this layoff is not ideal. Now, I'm not saying I'd rather not have it now. I'm glad the Phillies didn't have the opportunity to be eliminated in the last, you know, two days. But having a bye, we got to see more, but it might be a problem if you come out rusty.
Okay.
Yeah, I just,
but
I
it's
just
also
think...
better that you're healed and healthier. I just weigh it that way.
It may be, John, but it may
stop.
Not. John, just the Dodgers
stop.
Got
stop
their
so
no,
much
no, John,
to do
John,
about nothing.
John, you can't say so much to do about nothing. The Dodgers are 100-win teams 2 years in a row and lost.
I get it.
The Braves are 100-win teams 2 years in a row and lost.
And they're not us.
They didn't have Zach Wheeler starting game one, though, for what it's worth. I do think Wheeler is an elixir to coming in rusty in game one.
Listen, I hope you're right.
I think so.
I Ken, give me an answer. Give me a New York athlete or coach you couldn't stand.
Joe. Just be certain that a week from now we're going to be talking about being ready for the Padres to come in here and play us in game one of the NLCS. So just relax.
We'll see.
Well, you guys mentioned Pete Alonso. There's one guy who's way more annoying than anybody else on the Mets, but he won't be playing, and that is Jeff McNeil.
Jeff McNeil.
He is annoying.
Classic. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. The all-new three-row Chevrolet Traverse has arrived. Armin has them in stock. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Who wins the NLDS, the Phils or the Mets? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Second poll question, what concerns you the most about this series? I thought about having Ranger in this poll, but I don't think he deserves to be top four. He probably would be next because you don't really know what you're getting with Ranger right now. But here are the four choices we went with for what could be concerning. Phil's bats go cold. Mets are hot, which is true. Rob Thompson decision-making, which has been a major issue 2 years in a row at the end of the postseason. And rust from the bye and the layoff. What do you make of it? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. You know, I'll tell you what Bryce Harper makes of the last couple of years playing here. He knows he's got an unbelievable fan base come October at Citizens Bank Park. Let's listen to Bryce yesterday with the afternoon guys talking about Philadelphia fans.
We heard some audio from Rhys Hoskins yesterday about what it's like to play in Philadelphia. How would you describe it to somebody who has never been here?
I don't think you can. I really don't. I don't think you can describe it until you really live it and understand what it's all about. I think the message last year, right, was like, if you don't understand it, we don't want you here. We don't want you to come in here because you'll never understand what it's like. It's passionate. It's hard. It's a lot of fun. I think that's the one thing about free agents, right? When you're trying to talk to guys to come to Philly, you have to talk to the right guys. And when you talk to guys like Schwarber or Trey or JT signing back or Cassidy or anybody else, you kind of have to understand what that takes and what it's all about.
I can't imagine playing anywhere else. It's the greatest place to play. Obviously, people talk about other places and things like that, but there's nothing else that I want to ever play in front of or play for or anything like that. It's the best fan base in all of sports, and I mean, everybody sees that, and everybody's going to see it on Saturday. When the bank turns red.
I love it. Look, it's the right message, and it's true. It's totally accurate.
When the bank turns red, Richie.
When the bank turns red. That is so awesome. That is so awesome.
That got me so fired up.
That has to get you fired up.
Well, it does.
That has to get you less fearful.
Hold on. Just know this, though. What we've been used to the last 2 years, which is just about zero fans of the other team in there. There are going to be thousands of Mets fans. Guys.
Okay, and what does that mean?
Well, drown them out because there's going to be a lot more Phillies fans.
Maybe our team will be more fired up for that. I think it's good.
I'll say
they
this:
can watch their team
send them
lose
home
in
with their tails tucked.
Yeah, the Phillies better win, or Mets fans are going to get beat up by Phillies fans in a bad mood.
Yeah, probably.
And Devin, you know I'm not kidding.
No one getting a fight, all right? No fights, no fights.
So no, I'm not advocating it.
Be classy.
Don't allow Mets fans or anyone outside of Philly. Or, outside of the immediate surrounding area to buy your tickets.
All right, let me ask this. When tickets are – I'm not familiar with this.
Yeah.
When tickets are posted online, certain sites for being sold, apps and all that, can you see where someone lives if they're maybe going to purchase your ticket? I would imagine the answer is no, right?
I've never done it, so I don't know. I would assume no.
And that's why, Devin, what you said
is...
But isn't there, geolocating stuff that can be used and all that stuff with the tickets?
There is.
Yeah.
I actually saw the Padres just got in trouble for that. They're, geolocating who they're selling tickets to. But I don't know. I would just suggest if you have tickets that you're trying to get rid of, just find your biggest Phillies fan friend and give it to them.
By the way, John, can I ask you something I think is going to resonate with you? What is up with people like Seltzer and Devin that use terms like geolocating?
What else are we supposed to?
It's a thing.
John, have you ever?
Yes,
you're
it came
a smart
up on
guy.
Our show with the Sixers
right,
and Knicks.
John,
that was part
guy.
Of the discussion.
James, hang on. John, you're a smart guy. Have you ever heard of geolocating?
I mean, yeah, I've heard of it, but it's like on a special on the National Geographic channel or something.
Dorks use it, right?
I've
never said geolocation.
This was a Sixers-Knicks thing. We talked about this already like 6 months ago or whatever.
Yes, we did.
It came up. It was part of the thing.
I don't need that nonsense in my life. Geolocating.
Yeah, you just don't pay attention. It's not our fault that something goes in one ear and out the other. It's not. I can't help that.
Never even goes in the first ear. Never even goes in.
It is possible that we are behind the times a bit.
Well, probably, but we're the right ones. We know how to talk. Okay, I don't need to talk about high leverage in baseball.
John
it's
uses
called a
the
big,
biggest
it's
words
still,
on this
it's
show.
Still cool, he does, but it's still called RBIs. It's not high leverage. It's a big spot, and it's not geolocating. It's like, I don't know, a location. Let's go to phones. Let's go to Sean right now. in Perkins.
Right.
Sean, what's going on, pal?
How's that for a good word? You're a troglodyte.
I'm salty because I lost and beat the Hammer. People think I'm rooting for the Mets, and neither's – well, one of them's true. I'm not rooting for the Mets. I did lose beat the Hammer.
I think Luddite. Is the word.
Yeah, all right, Sean. Probably more
Sean, you're on WIP.
They both
go,
work, though.
Sean, go ahead.
What a great way to start the weekend with a Hammer loss.
Oh. Dude.
You're right, man.
I just sound a joke didn't hear very much today, this one. That was not a sound joke heard much.
I personally feel a lot better about the NLDS after a Hammer.
Well,
loss.
Let me say this.
I
there's
a good omen.
There's a chance I did it on purpose.
Okay.
Let me tell you why.
No, there's not.
A friend had a very apt text that the difference this year for the Phillies to win the World Series, we needed a sacrifice in front of the gods. So, Seltzer, I will lay claim to having been the sacrificial lamb or hammer.
Some elite spin right here.
I was sacrificed today at the altar of the honor of the Phillies winning the World Championship.
So, are you saying you sacrificed yourself?
Correct. Self-immolation. I immolated myself.
What? That means you lay yourself on fire.
Well, I lost in front of a million people listening. It's kind of a form of it.
A million people.
Well, thereabout. I mean,
Joe, you didn't just lose. You got dominated.
Like I told you.
I mean, how many questions did he answer correctly?
He got four.
Jimmy?
I got one.
Four, one.
What
yes.
are the?
But you were stammering.
What are the chances I didn't throw it? Think about it.
Okay. No, you can't do that.
What
you
are the chances?
Zero. You just don't remember
Sean,
things that happened recently.
So, Sean, the winning streak is officially over, but I have done a service to the Philadelphia Phillies.
Hey, you sure have. So, I got a story for you guys.
I hope, go ahead, Sean.
I hope I can ask for forgiveness and keep my Philly loyalty card. You ready?
What do you got?
So, I met this girl about a week ago, right? And
oh, no.
You know, great girl, senior at St. Joe's. Lovely lady, gorgeous. The only caveat is she carries the triple crown of Mets fan, Devils fan, and Giants.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's a real problem, Sean.
So what happened I went over there. I went over there and watched the Mets game with her, and I'm like, what do I do? Like, no. So I root for the Brewers. So I root for the Mets. Like, I'm kind of in a box here.
Sean, let me ask you.
What did you do?
I ended up rooting for the Mets. I'm sorry.
No!
Sean, that's horrible.
Sold out!
Sean, you really rooted for the Mets?
Did you just meet her?
Well, what was I supposed to do? Because if the Mets win, then they face us, so that makes it worse.
You need to stay strong to who you are, man.
Unless you want the Phillies to face the Mets, and that's different. That's different.
But you still don't root for the Mets.
Sean, here's my... Sean, have you ever heard the phrase, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am?
Yes.
You never marry that girl.
You should be done with her by
4:08 tomorrow afternoon.
You're making a leap.
By 4:08 tomorrow, you dump her.
In reasoning here, we don't know anything about that
by
part.
By 4:08 tomorrow, she's gone.
I don't listen to that, Sean. Don't listen.
By 4:08 tomorrow, the gloves are off. That was
great.
No time.
Break up with her at 4:07 tomorrow.
I don't know.
But have a good 3 o'clock hour.
Oh, man.
There's a lot that goes into this, Sean. But I think you've started out on the wrong foot in a lot of ways by not being true to you.
Yeah, this is weird, man. Well, look. Good luck to you. Let us know next week what's going on there. Sean, give me an answer. A New York athlete or coach you couldn't stand.
I'm going to go with the current player. I know it's not going to win, but I cannot stand Juan Soto for the life of me.
Huh. Yeah, okay, he's up there now.
I like Juan Soto.
Look, he hasn't been a problem for the Phils as a Yankee, so that's certainly not going to win. To me, you got to have a stronger association with New York against Philly in order to win this today.